you two are going to talk to us about one of the tactics that SWAT sometimes has to employ called explosive breaching. What is that?
Yeah, so I thought, first off, I just kind of want to recap what we talked about.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
At this point, bring our listeners up to speed. So as we started this segment, of course, I'm talking about SWAT and the whole overall umbrella of SWAT, the tactical bomb and negotiations. We've mentioned about those teams, those three elements of SWAT, and then we've talked about, you know, how does SWAT get activated. We talked about the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we talked about search warrants in general, just you know, the differences between a knock and announce search warrant, a no knock, a nightcap. And then this week I thought we'd talk next about, much as you had already mentioned, the more of a specialty amongst the team, and that is breaching. And so, you know, oftentimes when SWAT is executing the warrants that we talked about last week, the suspects aren't very cooperative. That's why, obviously, SWAT is being used, as we've talked about. And typically these individuals score high on the matrix, so there is a higher danger level to the entry. And so oftentimes these individuals don't cooperate with us when we're trying to execute the warrant. So whether it's that they barricade the door or they just don't come to the door and open it and leave it locked. And in those cases, the team then has to, of course, force that door open. And there's a couple ways that we do that. It's either through mechanical breaching, and that's going to be, you know, things that we normally think about where we would use a door ram or a Halligan tool, depending on if the door opens inward or outward. That's the difference between those two tools. And then sometimes we'll use what we would, in the past, we've used some shotgun breaching. That's when I was on the team, I was a breacher, and that's something that I've employed in the past. And typically when a shotgun is used, there's going to be a frangible round that uses a metal powder load, and that metal powder load is able to usually defeat a locking mechanism or a door hinge, and then it immediately disperses. So if there's someone on the other side of the door, they're not typically in danger from that round. It's not like what you'd think with a normal shotgun round where it might penetrate the door and continue to go and hurt someone on the other side of the door. So there is some technology to these breaching capabilities and different things that we think about to try to keep everyone safe in the situation. But over the last several years, we've added another tool, or SWAT has added another tool called explosive breaching. And Myron, Sergeant Canales, is one of the individuals on the team in the past who had gone to that training and was an explosive breacher. So that's why I wanted to bring him on today. And I think that with that, I'll turn it over to him so he can kind of explain what explosive breaching is, you know, the training he had to go through, when it's typically used, why we would use it,
mm-hmm.
and those types of things.
Sounds great.
Okay.
So I'll turn it over to you, Myron, if you want to talk.
Yeah, and thanks for having me this morning.
Yeah.
Again, Sergeant Myron Canales, been with Cass County Sheriff's Office for almost 23 years. I did a little over 10 years on our SWAT team. I just retired from our team in January. When I left, I was a team leader and also one of our explosive breachers on the team. So explosive breaching got started up with our Red River regional SWAT team in about 2017. 2018, I went through a week-long school down in Byhalia, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
We in the industry call explosive breaching HEE, and that's high energetic entry is what we would refer to that type of entry system. And we utilize three main types of basically explosive breaching. There's a pushing charge, a blasting charge, and a cutting charge. And why we would use those, I think, as Sheriff Johnner had mentioned on just briefly, safety of it for both the operator and also the suspect, if you can believe it or not. It's a lot safer for the suspect as well. So there's several benefits with explosive breaching or high energetic entry. And I think the three biggest points that I can think of for benefits, safer entry method for both suspect and operator, and why that would be, it gets the operator out of the fatal funnel. A fatal funnel is anything that restricts lateral movement. Okay. So like a doorway, a hallway, a stairwell, anything where I'm kind of trapped within that funnel, I have no method of escape other than forward or backward. So I can't laterally escape anywhere. It kind of locks me into either forward or backwards. When we breach a door, we typically have a saying called first light, first sight. So when that door opens up, if you can think about maybe a suspect hiding in wait in ambush inside of a room, when that door opens up, there's a first light from that doorway. And if I'm standing there with a typical entry method would be a battering ram, for example. And if me, the breacher, am standing there in the batter with a battering ram and I open that door, the first light is me. That's where I'm going to be backlit from that first light, me, the operator, the breacher. And so if there's somebody laying there ready to ambush me, I'm right there in that fatal funnel at the first point of light when that door opens. And so using explosive breaching, I can open that door and have, say, a 15 to 20-foot standoff distance from that door, and the entire team can then as well. And how it's safer for the suspect is if I use a battering ram and I open that door, all that kinetic energy, I'm swinging that ram with 100% strength, and all mm-hmm. that kinetic energy gets transferred into that door. And if the suspect is right behind that door, the suspect's getting hit with all that kinetic energy. With explosive breaching, the way explosives are designed and the type of charges we use, all that explosive energy is going out instead of in. And again, depending on the charge that we use, say it's a cutting charge and I want to cut the hinge side of the door really just spins right there inside that doorway and just lays down flat. So if a suspect would be hiding right behind that door, they're getting none of that explosive pressure. We call that overpressure. They're getting none of that pressure at all. So it's safer for operator and suspect in that regard. And then just the psychological effect that explosive breach has on that suspect. We've had many times when we utilize an explosive breach where the suspect gives up right away. They're on the ground, they're proned out with their hands out in front of them before we even make entry. And so we'll call them out to us, which is the best case scenario where we breach a doorway. We stand off that doorway. It's called a breach and call out. We'll breach that door and they come crawling out to us just because of the psychological effect of that explosion happening. That's happened numerous occasions when we utilize an explosive or high energetic entry breach.
Well, that leads to one of my questions, Sergeant Canales, and thank you for joining us on this as well, whether or not you would have to employ the explosive breach in conjunction with a flashbang or a stun device or anything like that. You're saying this is kind of, this is the stun device and the breaching device.
Correct. Now, we're not taking that tool away from us, okay? If we use like an FSDD, a flash and sound diversionary device, that's typically what a slang term for that would be a flashbang grenade. It's not. It's an FSDD, a flash and sound diversionary device. It uses a bright flash and a loud bang to divert the attention of the suspect away from the entry of the team. Okay, and that's why it's named an FSDD. And yeah, the explosive breach acts as that FSDD as well as gains us entry into that structure.
Okay. And are these, I mean, we I guess I once in a while see, you know, law enforcement videos, you know, people see a lot of TV shows. Are these pre-measured charges? Are they something where somebody's got to basically mat it around the doorway? Like, what different kinds of these things are there?
Yep. So, and that's a very good question. So the math has already been done by folks that are a lot smarter than me. Okay. There's a lot of scientists that figure out how much explosives we need to defeat a certain type of doorway, wall, roof. All of this stuff has been tested and tried and true. The military started this stuff. many years ago, law enforcement started using explosive breaching probably within the last 30 years. So in the whole scope of law enforcement, it's a relatively new thing. But yes, all the math on the explosive charges is already done. And we have formulas that we can put in based on how much explosive we use, which will tell us, you know, how far we as the operators or the team stacked outside the door, how far we have to be away to protect ourselves, you know, different types of doors or, again, walls that we're going to go through, is it's already determined how much explosive we need. One of the things that we do in training is we train to failure with these explosives. So I'll just give you an example. And if I'm speaking Greek to you guys, I apologize. But let's say, for example, I need a 400 grain, or I use a 400 grain charge to get through a solid core wooden door. Okay, I'm going to take it right off the hinges. Mm-hmm. If that 400 grain charge is way too powerful and it completely throws that door inside the structure, well, I know I need to back it down a little bit. So maybe I'll try a 350 grain charge. And maybe that 350 grain charge opens the door, but yet it's still a little strong. So I'll knock it down to 300 grains. Well, maybe that 300 grains doesn't quite open that door. Okay, so that's the training to failure. I'll train that. I know that 300 grains won't open that door, so now I'm going to kick it up to 325. And all of that's documented. Every training charge that we use, we document that. So if I have to go into court and they say, well, Sergeant Canales, why did you use the grain weight charge you did? We think that you injured our client when you, you know, when you blew the door off mm-hmm. the hinges. And I can say, I feel that I didn't. Here's the math to show why I did what I did, and here's the training that we did. I had to use a 325 grain charge as opposed to a 300 grain charge because I know a 300 grain charge won't work.
Right.
And so we take pictures of every explosive charge that we set. We take pictures of the damage that it does, both external and internal. We have what's called predictable frag and predictable fragmentation or unpredictable fragmentation. And so we document all of that. So we can go into court and we can testify that this is actually a safer method mm-hmm. than me standing behind the door using 100% of my strength to throw a kinetic energy ram through the door.
Well, and I would imagine part of this, because I know we've talked with Sheriff Johnner about the different scenarios
yeah.
that you train for, and without, you know, obviously letting go any specific, you know, proprietary tactics, all that kind of stuff. These are situations, I got to believe, where you believe this is the safest way and the most protective way to extract or surprise the suspect, all that stuff. Because the situation you don't want, you're in a residential neighborhood and you got bullets flying everywhere. That's the last thing anybody mm-hmm. wants.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I don't want folks to think that we're, you know, using explosive breaching for everything. Okay.
Right.
It's just a tool. It's another tool that we yeah. can reach into our toolbox and utilize. And typically what we would do is use explosive breaching for a suspect that's got a higher propensity for violence. Okay.
Right.
So they fight with the police. They run from the police at every chance they get. They're known to be armed and possibly dangerous. The criminal offenses that they're wanted for are quite serious. So we're not just going into a neighborhood and say, hey, we have a marijuana warrant, for example, and we're going to blow this guy's door off the hinges. That's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
We do our homework on the law enforcement side. It's called intelligence-led policing, or ILP. Intelligence leads what we do, and there's hours of surveillance. Multiple task force and teams that are putting together information for us that would determine how we operate as law enforcement entities and also as a SWAT team.